Welcome back to another episode of The One Small Change. And as always, I'm thrilled that you took time out of your busy schedule to come and share exploration and something that might help you transform. As always, I'm your host, Yvonne McCoy, and I bring almost 30 years of entrepreneurial spirit, experience, and passion for discovering the power of seemingly small changes. And I want to thank you again for joining me. And this week, we are talking with Dave Howard. Dave and I have a passion for learning and learning in ways that are relevant and useful. And so we're going to talk about how small and unexpected and insignificant decisions can really spark a remarkable transformation and a growth in both your personal and your professional life. So, Dave, I am so glad that you're here. You and I spend a lot of time together in the course of a month. And so our challenge is going to be to stay focused. So tell me, we're already off to a rant. Tell me what's a small change and how it changed your business and made it what you're doing now.
Well, I think it's interesting. I used to think a lot about setting goals and having large, aspirations to work towards, and then breaking them down into little subtasks and doing all those various and sundry things. And I started to realize that that's often really challenging to do, and you still end up with a lot of larger than you'd like chunks to work with. And I think maybe part of what changed some of my thinking around this was reading Atomic Habits and realizing that it's really all about the little things that you do every day or the little things that you do as part of an overall direction that makes a difference. And I realize that that is particularly true, I think, about the way we learn and the way that we should learn, which is not to try to cram everything we need to know something about into half an hour or a 15-minute workshop or 6 hours of training, but to be able to learn in smaller chunks, may be able to learn when it's relevant for us to know that particular thing and to go back and learn more. And that's what I think engages people and interests them. And that's the kind of learning we all do every day. So that's really what I think is the key, is small changes in learning, small changes in understanding the world around you and the things that you do in your business make a huge difference over time. They compound.
Well, I think one of the things that we've shared in the past is that the world is changing very quickly. And so whether you know it or not, or whether you do it consciously or not, we are all put in a situation where we really, you either need to learn or you start to stagnate and fall behind. And so can you address that a little bit?
Sure. I think, it's interesting. I spent some time looking at customer education organizations that work on trying to take people who sign up for their software or their program of one kind or another and educate them how to use it effectively. And very often that education is just absolutely dreadful. It doesn't really meet the needs of people. It doesn't solve their challenges. It doesn't move them forward in a particular way. And so I think the answer in many cases to the issue of what's the right kind of learning to be doing, it's the kind of learning that makes sense to the learner in the context of the circumstance. And so very often what I think we see is people providing a lot of learning resources or a lot of course content that they never take the time to explain or to understand how it's relevant to the learner. And then that is what motivates us to continue to learn. We do continue to learn in the directions that are important to us. If we need to figure out the new system at the supermarket so that we can buy food and feed our family, we figure it out. It's not hard to learn, we do it. If it's important for us to know something out on the job or in our business, we take the time to learn it. But unless we see the relevance of that learning, unless we see the importance of it, then it's hard to maintain that. Yet we're still learning every day. We're learning about the things that matter to us, not about the things that we can't find relevance for.
Well, I've told you the story before that when I did workforce training, I would show up and I'd say, "This is what we're gonna, this is what we're gonna work on. Why are you here?" And they would say, "Because I was told to be here." And I'd say, "Well, it since you are here, let's find something that would make this useful for you in your life." And then I got buy-in. Then I got people to say, "Okay, I want to do this. I want to be involved in this. I want to learn something." And I think the other thing is that In school, in the time frame that we were in, I think we were not taught to be curious about things, and kind of like, if you do this, then what's going to happen? Our training was pretty much just do this. There's a right or wrong answer. You're not taught to be curious. And I just found an article that said some of the signs, some of the things that your children do that drive you crazy are signs that they're probably, highly intelligent, like taking things apart and using them in different ways. Where as parents, or our parents at least would say, don't do that. Don't take that apart. Leave it the way it is, And I think that that's a belief that we have to overcome. And again, I think part of that is because things are moving so fast. So give me some, if you can, I don't want to put you on the spot, but have you got any some examples either in your own life or with clients where you found having just that shift in the way they view learning has changed how they learned and the, the rate that they learned?
Sure. One of the things that that you and I and our good colleague Rob Reuter like to work on is something called flip books. And digital flip books are, you've probably seen them. They're pages that turn when you go through a document. And you've probably seen a number of them and thought that they were particularly dull, boring, and uninteresting, other than the fact that the pages turn. And what Rob discovered a while ago is that you can do almost anything you want with a flip book. And so he brought that to me, and I had seen them before, and of course I thought immediately, they're dumb. They're not particularly useful. But then I thought, I should be curious about this. Why does Rob think that this is valuable? There's somebody I respect, and I want to understand why it is that he sees value in it. And when I was curious and I had him explain to me what he saw, all of a sudden I thought, wow, this is a tremendously underutilized resource. This is something that we could be making very engaging, very interesting and involving learning for people online using this simple technology that's been around forever and is proven. So that's one example of being curious. Another example of being curious is, that we've also been working on the idea of taking some ideas from a few thought leaders, Kathy Sierra, and a book that she wrote called Badass, Making Users Awesome, Ernesto Siroli, who talks about the experience of going around the world and really listening to what people need and then finding a way to help them, and Michelle Thomas, who believe that people who create learning are responsible for the success of that learning, not the learner. And what strikes me about that in particular, perhaps, is Ernesto Siroli's idea that you can't really help people unless you shut up and listen, unless you're curious about what it is they're trying to accomplish, that unless you're curious about what do they know how to do and what do they not know how to do, unless you're curious about where are the opportunities that they don't see that you can help them to see. And it's that taking the time to be curious and to open up to those things that I think makes all the difference in the world. And so when we've had success in taking clients of ours and encouraging them to look at flip books, it usually is because we had them be curious about how this technology is different and look at it from a curious perspective and say, what could we do with this? And pretty soon we're in this conversation where they're saying, oh, well, could we do this? And we're, yeah, absolutely, we could do that. That would be great. And we end up with this interactive, engaging learning resource that the user is curious about too. They want to turn the page and see what comes up next. They want to do the next exercise, watch the next video, and they are engaged in it much more so. And all of that comes back to curiosity. So I 100% agree with you about curiosity.
Well, I'm gonna kind of jump on your toes a little bit by saying you're going to give us a link to a flip book, right? For a learning community that we're both very passionate about, called the One, All for One Academy. And one of the other things that we talked about that is that too often when we put ourselves as the expert and the person who has all the knowledge, we kind of shut down the channels of engagement as opposed to saying, I mean, this is what I went. I was not taught to be a teacher, but when I got into training and teaching, I was like, I wasn't quite sure of my skills. And so I would always say to the people, if you don't understand it, it's not you, it's me. I haven't said it in a way that makes sense. And I think that is a huge shift. In terms of, because then people are not saying, I don't get it, I'm not interested, I'm, they're not connecting with me, that kind of thing. And I think the other thing is, we all learn in different ways. So, if you don't know, there's the visual, the audio, and the kinetic. And the more way we use them all, but we are more in tune with one or two than all three of them. And when I first started taking, they weren't online courses, they were on the phone courses. And I'm very visual. I had to have a toy to play with because I'm visual kinetic. I have to see things and feel things. And I actually had to play with a toy in order for me to be able to focus and listen to the class. And so the more ways that you can get out and to the people that you want to attract, to the potential clients, whether it's video, whether it's a podcast, whether it is written, the better chance you have of interacting with them and bringing them into your sphere. I think we talked about a couple of other things. We talked about, not making yourself the expert, but being open to people. Oh, I know what I wanted to say. When we're in the All for One Academy, and we do our monthly, meetings, we do an exercise that I think is really based on curiosity. And I don't know if you want to share that or not.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's one of the unique things that we've adapted from a couple of different places. And Rob sort of introduced part of it. And then another member of the Academy actually suggested some really interesting ideas and twists on it. And the idea is a clarity exercise. And the purpose of the exercise is for someone to bring a challenge or something they're working on and pose it to the group. And then have people not provide suggestions for answers, not provide, oh, in my experience, this works or that works, but to say, here are the questions you should be asking yourself. And it's based on the philosophy that the answers lie within for most of us. Most of us have all of the pieces that we need once we clarify a few things to make the right decision for us in the right circumstance. And if we're making it based on our internal feelings and our internal understanding, it's going to be in alignment with how we want to go ahead and work with that later. So it's going to be more successful because it's not imposing something on us. It's in alignment with our own thinking. And so the idea is there are no answers provided, there are no suggested solutions, there's no discussion. It's just a collection of questions that you take away where you can sit back and ponder and say, well, that's a really good question. What's my answer to the question about why is this important to me? Or what's the my answer to the question of why would I do this versus that? And the questions allow you to really let it percolate and come together in a way that makes sense and that actually gets you faster to a solution than trying to evaluate a bunch of different people's suggestions or whether they're opinions, whether they're factual, whether they would work for you, whether they won't. None of that comes into it. You're just simply asking yourself intelligent questions. And I think that's a great way to go.
And what was kind of the unexpected? One of the things we said is we don't want you to say it verbally. We want you to put it in the chat. And what was one of the unexpected things that came out of that?
Well, I think the fact that people became very thoughtful and they really kind of took away a whole list of opportunities and things that they could see, they appreciated the peace and quiet, the ability for everybody to just work on their own ideas and questions and contribute it. So there wasn't any competition for, oh, here's my suggestion, and I'm listening to your suggestions now and forgetting my own. Everybody was just contributing them together. It only took about 5 minutes or so. And invariably, the people we've done it with have said, it was a very powerful exercise to be a participant in, both from the questioning standpoint. Often people realize questions they have themselves that they haven't been contemplating about their own business, but also for the person who's at the center of receiving all these questions, really powerful to have that much focus on them and their issue and their circumstance without having to kind of evaluate all those various things. I'm not sure if that's what you were thinking about, but that.
Well, that was what I was thinking about, but I think the other thing that we realized was that the questions that people posted, when you looked at that whole list of questions, it was a great list of questions for you too.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
Everybody actually, even though you were doing it for that one person, the questions were really good questions for you to ask about your own business. And I found that because I mean, the reason I say be curious, not judgmental, is because I spent most of my life being very judgmental and telling people how to do You know, coming from the manager model, we need to get it done. This is what you need to do. And so when you realize that you're making a question, your first inclination is, this is what you should do. And just having to make a question out of that, you know, what's the question that led me to that solution? Or what was the piece, you know, made me stop and go, okay, what's the question that I need to come up with? And it stopped me from, you know, being judgmental and saying, this is what you need to do. And so the sharing, even though you're sitting there in silence, actually was going back and forth, if that makes any sense.
And I think it's really powerful that everybody, because it's in the chat, can go away with a copy of the questions and figure out, oh, which ones of these are relevant for me, or what did this trigger for me, or what did I think about with respect to this. So you're right, there's a lot of value there. And that, I think, is sometimes, I think, you know, we had this theme today of curiosity. And I think part of it is, as you start to think of the questions you're going to recommend this person think about, you're being curious about the issue yourself. You're being curious about what would my questions be about this? What would I want to know if I was in that circumstance? And I think that's a very, very powerful place to be. Instead of evaluating answers, evaluating questions, or entertaining questions. And you know, I think I'm reminded of it, and it's a little bit of a stretch, but you know that on my email, I have a quote from Alan Alda at the end where he says one of the things he's learned is I've come to understand I'm not really listening unless I'm prepared to be changed by what you say, something along that lines. And I think that's a really powerful reason to be curious. Because when you're curious, the opportunity is there for you to get a new perspective, to understand things from a different view, to see how something could be different than you understood it before, and use that information for your own benefit, for your own direction, and for your own increase in understanding. And so when you go back to the example of being a manager and things being very directive, I remember those days as well. That was the way you got things done, was you told people what to do and they did it. When you started getting the ideas that, well, you should try to work with people to have them set their own goals and objectives, to have them figure out what's important in their job, to have them figure out what they need to learn, because then it's them that came up with these suggestions, not you. So they can't really say, well, Yvonne made me do this and I'm not really into it. They said, hey, I kind of came up with this as a, something I should work on. It's going to be hard for me to go back to Yvonne and say, hey, I changed my mind. I don't really think I should be working on that anymore. Or I better have a good reason for it. So I think it's a way more powerful way to manage and to do your business.
Well, you know, getting back to your business, I think, you know, the whole purpose for those of us that are in a service business is to help people transform in some way, either transform themselves, transform their business, whatever, which requires change, which re usually requires additional information. But I think, you know that one of my favorite quotes is, you know, if you want a gooey brownie, you don't want the recipe. You know, if you walked into a bakery store and you wanted a gooey brownie and they said, okay, here's 2 cups of flour, here's some cocoa, you know, that would really turn you off. And yet, in terms of us engaging, and I'm not even, you know, which some people call sales, engaging with potential clients, that's exactly what we do. We say, I'm going to give you 2 cups of flour and, you know, a quarter cup of cocoa, and, you know, do you have an oven already? Do you know? And, you know, the process is so long when in fact what they want is the gooey brownie, you know, and in the end you're probably going to teach them how to make it, but
That's the key.
initially you're
That's the key. That's it. If I'm motivated by the gooey brownie and I go in and I eat it 5 or 6 times and I pay you $10 every time I go and buy a gooey brownie from you, pretty soon I start to get motivated to figure out how to do this myself because I really like these things and I could be saving $10 every time. So I think over and over and over again, when you're presented with the outcome that you were looking for, the result that you want, it leads to you wanting to learn how to do it. And that's really, you know, I mentioned Kathy Sierra earlier. That's really one of the things that she pushes really hard is that once people can do successfully what they set out to do, they will take the time to learn what are the elements that go into doing that repeatedly and reliably over and over again. And so they will learn the elements that you want to teach them. But if you teach them just the elements at first and they are not yet being successful at what they wanted to do, it's discouraging. They still can't snowboard. They still can't do this. They're still learning to do it, and it's discouraging.
I want to kind of make this just to me relevant to me. I mean, there are certain marketing buzzwords that have always turned me off because I didn't get it. I mean, it's no matter how many times people tried to explain it to me, I didn't get it. And you know, the benefits of your service was always something that I was like, I don't know what the benefits are. You do know, but in that framework, maybe not. And so that to me, when I say you want the gooey brownie, that I get. This is, so when I'm talking to my clients, I can say, are you tired of this? Do you want this? If you said to me, list the benefits, I would be stuck like a deer in the headlights. And I think that's, the other thing is that one size does not fit all. There are so many different variables to every situation. People need to feel confident enough that they can tweak and adjust. I talk about situational awareness, which I thought was a great phrase. But when I looked it up, it turned out that somebody else had already invented it. It was actually for first responders and military people that you need to be aware of your surroundings to stay
Right,
safe,
right.
right? But the same is true of us as business owners. If you have a fire in an ashtray, you don't call the fire department. You have to be aware of what you're doing. So if you need to make a small change in your business, you don't necessarily need to pull out the big guns and change everything. And I think even when I was managing, one of the things I always hated was you got a new person on top and they changed everything without taking the time to say what works,
Right, right,
what's working here, what am,
right.
you know, and it used to be like, oh my God, I remember when I was became a district manager, one of the people walked in and she goes, you're the sixth district manager that I've been through, so I'm not really paying you any attention. I was like, gosh. I mean, people have common sense, people have common sense. If you don't.
That's the thing that strikes me most about, I mentioned Ernesto Sirolli. His education in this whole thing was going into Africa as a young, idealistic, save the world teenager, early 20s something, and trying to help a group of people to plant tomatoes in a very verdant area of Zambia or something like that. And his story, in short form of his story, is they planted everything. They got amazing tomatoes, better than anything he'd ever seen in Italy. He was so amazed and so impressed, and he couldn't understand why the local people hadn't done this a million times over, because it was so obvious it was a great place. And he woke up one day and the whole tomato field was smashed down, eaten, destroyed, whatever. And he said, "What happened?" They all said, "What happened?" And the local people said, "Well, of course the hippos came through last night, ate and destroyed everything. That's why we don't plant tomatoes there."
All right, before like I said, our problem is going to be to stay focused and stay within time. So just a couple of action steps that you think people can take and talk about the free gift that you're going to give.
Okay, action steps I think that you can take are, I'm going to come back to being curious. I think if you try to gain an understanding of the things around you that may be beneficial to you, to your business, by talking to other people, I think that's a benefit. And why we are so energized, I think, about All for One is, I think, a belief that we have and share that the collective wisdom of a group of entrepreneurs coming together and sharing ideas and experience, maybe incomplete experience, maybe incomplete ideas, is more valuable to me as an entrepreneur than some guru trying to teach me their system that worked for them under a certain set of circumstances, which I can't relate to, yada, yada, yada. So the idea that you can surround yourself with a group of people who are willing to help, are willing to exchange their ideas for yours in exchange for your ideas to help them, and are willing to make your path to success much better, is a really, really good, strong way to go. There's a lot of knowledge in the collection of people who are trying to do business together. So find yourself a community like that would be my first step. The second step is find a way to attract people to you. And this is where the flipbook idea comes in. We work a little bit around a model of attracting people to you and then engaging them in what it is that you're doing and building a relationship with them over time. Not so much a transaction, a sale, but a transaction to, or a transformation to, them saying, "This person knows a lot," or "This person has a lot of interesting ideas or resources. I want to stay connected to them. I can't see what I need to buy from them today, but I don't want to lose this relationship. It's too valuable to me. And so a flip book can be a really good way to gain attention. We had somebody early on when we were doing this say to us, you know, you tell me you have a 25-minute video. I look at it, I say, I don't have time to watch a 25-minute video. I'm busy. I won't, I'll look at it later. You give me a flip book. I love the way you broke that video down into all these little things. I was flipping the pages, I'm going through, and we go back and look at how long did they spend going through the flip book, and they spent 45 minutes going through the flip book. Why? Because they were in control. It felt like everything was going at their pace. They knew when they could stop, they could keep going. So they did have the time, but it didn't feel like they were making the time because they were engaged and involved in it. So one of the things that we're offering is an introductory portion of a course that we have on creating flip books that will show you how flip books are a simple technology that's overlooked and that can be used in order to attract people to your offer, to your ideas in a way that engages them and involves them. And you talked earlier about kinesthetic aspects of learning. That's one of the things that got me about flip books. I've been in video for a long time. I have a radio and television arts degree originally. That's my background. And I was used to saying to people, here's a video, it's very engaging. And they would sit and watch it for 5 minutes. And if we were lucky, they stayed awake. They didn't drift off during that. We put that same content into a flip book, and now there are other things they can click there to find more information. They turn the page every time they go to the next piece of information. They're physically involved in moving the learning forward instead of just sitting there passively having it flow over them. So we're going to provide a link to you so that you can come and take that free introductory program that shows you a little bit about how this can be an amazingly effective, attractive piece for what you're doing. And it's relatively easy to learn. And we do have options and courses to help you to build those or to build them yourself, or we can help you to build them. Lots of different ways we can go. But we're just interested in getting you a way to get to your audience in a way that's different, unique, and engages them for longer. Because we know that the biggest challenge most entrepreneurs have is not selling to people, but finding the time to get the conversation to the point where they can share what they could do for them. If you can get people's attention and have a conversation, many entrepreneurs are excellent at finding relationships that turn into business. But it's getting that attention that's so critical. So that's the couple of things along that line.
I have to tell you, even though I know about flip books, I'm in. I am definitely in. So let me ask you the quick question before we end up. And that is the million-dollar question is, when was the last time you did something for the first time?
I think just earlier this morning. No, I'm a small business entrepreneur, so I am constantly doing things for the first time. And it's been actually really interesting. I've been working with a colleague of mine who has been a lifelong manager in an education department, worked inside a fairly conservative organization for a long time. And he's now gone out and he's hung out his own shingle and he's doing some consulting work. And it's been really fun to talk to him and to work with him because he's learning about the possibility of doing things he's never done before and feeling like, so here's where that community of people comes together again. I could give you a half dozen examples over the last couple of weeks where I've taken on something that we're going to do as an organization that I have no idea how we're going to do it. What I do know is I know people like you. I know people like Rob. I know people in the All for One community. I know people in the other communities. And amongst those people are the answers I need to be able to do this. And if not, I can always go to someplace like Fiverr or Upwork or someplace, and I can hire somebody who has the expertise that we don't have at a relatively good rate to do it. So I almost never say, I can't do that. I always try to do it on my own. I always try to figure out what I can. And then I go and get the help that I need from other people and I let them fill in the gaps. So I think I do something new and different every day.
And I love that attitude. I love that attitude. All right. I am sorry, but we're going to have to wind this up. And so for those of you that are listening, make sure that you subscribe, share, and engage with the podcast. You can find the previous podcasts, and listen to them. We've had some great guests. And it's my way of giving back to the community and helping you fuel your quest for growth and impact. So I hope you will continue to join me for one small change and see, what kind of small shifts we can have that will yield monumental transformations. And I want to make sure that, you dive into your world with your bold vision and innovative possibilities. So Dave, real fast, what's your last word? What's your take, that you want to leave us with?
My take is I'm going to go back to be curious. I think we developed that really well. Be curious about what's around you. Be curious about the opportunities that exist in your day-to-day life. As Ernesto Sirolli says, shut up and listen. Keep listening until you really understand what the circumstance is, what the person is trying to accomplish, and how you might be able to help them to get there. Or as Alan Alda said, until you're changed by what you're hearing. That is the true means of reaching success, I think, for small business people.
This is fabulous. I wish we had more time.
Been
As
great. Loved it.
always, talking to you is one of the best times of my week. So I want to remind
Yes.
my audience, that remember, change is simple, but it's not always easy. And it requires courage, resilience, and a willingness to step outside your comfort zone. So make sure that you join me again for the One Small Change, again, as we embark on this journey of a bold vision and innovative possibilities. And I will see you on the next One Small Change podcast, and I hope you will listen to more. Thank you so much, Dave, for coming and
My
sharing
pleasure.
the
Thank you
words
for
of
having me.
wisdom.